It is John Lynch of the San Francisco 49ers, GM of the 49ers, of course, a Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by way of Stanford. John, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Bonte. Hey, Joe. How you guys doing?
Oh, man, we're so fired up. It's Cowboy Week. It's Cowboy Week. And you're from John, you're from San Diego. You went up to Stanford, and you entered the draft in 1993 at the apex of the Niners-Cowboys rivalry. So before we get to the game and Jimmy and all that good stuff, what was it like being a player coming out of Stanford? You go into the NFL draft. You get drafted by the Bucs. You're like, man, the Cowboys and Niners. What did that mean to you when you entered the league?
Yeah.
Well, it was incredible. You know, I was really hoping I had the great fortune of playing with a bunch of Niner connections up at Stanford. Denny Green, who had been part of the Niner organization, was there my first 3 years, recruited me out of San Diego, and then, you know, Denny decides to leave. I'm playing minor league baseball, and some guy named Bill Walsh calls me up and says, "Hey, I'm your new coach, and I want you to come back and play." And you know, along with Bill came Keena Turner and Billy Ring and Mike Wilson and Guy Benjamin. So there were a lot of Niner ties, and anybody who was a fan of football was a fan of Niners at that time. They were known as the organization that was the most first class, that did it the right way, that was winning championships, and so. You know, everyone knew about the Niners. Everyone knew about the Cowboys. And to be honest with you, I was a little bummed because I was going to Tampa. That was the worst organization in all of sport at the time. And, you know, once I got there, I took on the challenge of, hey, you know, let's turn this thing around. And fortunately, a couple years later, a couple guys named Sapp and Brooks came in to help me and the rest of the guys out, and we were able to come full circle. But it was everyone who was a fan of football was a fan of those kind of rivalries, and that was it. You know, kind of when I entered the league.
You know how excited I got when you said Mike Wilson and Bill Ring? And I mean, geez, we're getting so fired up. And that's old school San Francisco 49er football. And that game on Sunday, I mean, it's been a roller coaster year for the team, for the organization, for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I get to what he did in that game and the decision for you guys to go to Jimmy Garoppolo in that game. Is that you? Is that Kyle? Are you guys working with Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, how do you even decide that he's going to play in that game? And then you stick with him even though you're down 17-0. Like, take us through how you guys come to that decision.
Yeah, that's ultimately Kyle's decision. Now, you know, I'm always humbled and thankful and grateful that when we decided to do this, we decided to do it together. And I think he likes my perspective. I think he relies on it. And so we're always talking. As I recall, I think Tuesday of that game, you know, we had a lot of discussions. And I was offsite attending to some things, and Kyle just called me and he said, "Hey, man, I had Jimmy in my office. I told him, I want you to go outside with the trainers and your quarterback coach, Rich Scangarello." And, you know, Kyle told me, he said, you know, I told him I wasn't going to go watch, but I eventually gave in and went out there. And I want you to go throw, because we were told by the doctors, you know, our doc and then the specialist, Dr. Shin down in L.A., there's always a guru for every part of the body. Well, he's the guy right now. And he said, listen, it's purely, you know, pain tolerance, number one, and this is a painful thing. And then number two, it's how can he function? And so, provided those two things, he's clear in everyone's mind. So we were comfortable with that, but it's a tough deal to throw the ball with. And so, long story short, Kyle told Jimmy, "Hey, I want you to go out there. I want you to test it. If you're ready, you come back and tell me it's, you know, I'm ready, Kyle, and it's your game." And that's exactly what happened. Jimmy went out and did that. You know, you still want to kind of you know what is the old saying, trust and verify, and so we trusted Jimmy, but then you want to see it in practice, and it looked really good in practice. And you know, and then, you know, I really commend Kyle. I commend our guys for the fortitude to kind of stay with who we are in that game. I think it was so essential that we scored those 3 points before before the half, knowing that we had deferred to start the game. So you get the ball coming out of the half, and I really believe that allowed us to stay with who we were and our game plan, and thought it was a masterful job by our coach and staff and our players just to have the strength and belief to overcome down there. And we were buoyed by fans who stuck with us the entire game, man. They had really taken over SoFi Stadium. You could see the red all over, and they never wavered. They were right there with us, and it was ugly at first. And fortunately, they stayed with us. Our guys stayed with it, and the rest is history.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer John Lynch, the GM of the San Francisco 49ers, as they get ready to play the Cowboys in a wild card game on Sunday. Kickoff at 1:30 down at Jerry's World. The former Buccaneer won a Super Bowl, of course. And, you know, John, you talk about that game. You guys come out of halftime, you score, you get the ball back, you run the ball 10 straight times. Debo throws the touchdown to Juwan Jennings to tie the game. Just, it was crazy. And then, I don't know if you heard Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly. She was saying, I've never seen it before. We had to use a silent count. Is that one thing that has kind of surprised you with this 49ers fan base, that at how well they travel? You know, you came here, you said brick by brick. And 49er fans have bought into that. But have you been surprised at how well Niner fans travel to other cities?
It's unbelievable. It's blown my mind. You know, I was a part of an organization at the end of my career in the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos really had a regional fan base. I think you credit John Elway and some of those, their success in the 80s and into the 90s, where they were winning Super Bowls. And so I thought that was this kind of, you know, we'd go to San Diego, my hometown, and the Bronco fans would be all over. Man, I was blown away when I got here. The reach of the Niners, and you know, you credit all those legends, the Bill Walshes, the Joe Montanas, the Ronnie Lotts, and Keena Turners, and all the guys for building what they build. And I think back then, I'm 50, so yeah, I was growing up then. You know, everybody watched the same games, and it was usually watching Madden and Summerall, and they were calling the games. And yep. So you know, when people say why are there fans all over, I think that's why. It was a team people could identify with. They had a style to them. There was a brotherhood. They were known for doing things the right way. But, man, it is unbelievable. Wherever we go, the Midwest, the East, the Southeast, it's wherever we go, our guys show up, and the faithful shows up, and it's an awesome sight. I love going around and asking these people, like, where are you from and why are you a Niner fan? And they all have a story, and it's fascinating to me.
You know, Shasky brought up the roller coaster of a season, right? And we've been here on the morning radio. We're diehard Niner fans. We grew up here, John, and we've had a roller coaster of a season. We've been on, we've been off, we've been going crazy. And you guys were 3-5 after losing to Arizona at home. 3-5, they come in with Colt McCoy. And I think that's been as down as his fan base has been on you guys. And you guys rolled a 7-9, winning 7 of your last 9. Take us behind the scenes of what this season has been like. You know, you had the Trey, Jimmy aspect. You had Kyle on the sideline trying to manage the quarterback situation. You guys have had injuries. You know, COVID-19 has been a monster this season. Take us behind the scenes, because I feel like a microcosm of the season was watching you in the suite at SoFi Stadium yes. watching the Saints-Falcons game while you guys are losing 17-0.
Oh man, that was brutal. I worked with a lot of those people at Fox, and most places we are, that we have a TV in front of us, so you can, like, you know, people will say, hey John, you're on TV, you know, give me a heads up so you're not picking your nose or you're not doing something. Well, this week the TV was behind me, so I had no clue, and had no clue that the TV was on me the entire time. Otherwise, I would have been a little more composed, but what the heck, you know, kind of got riding with the faithful. I think they inspired me just to let it go. But this season, you're absolutely right. It was, you know, I think you're exactly right in that last week's game was kind of a microcosm of our season. And, you know, what I'm so proud is that this league is not easy, and we had high hopes, and I think rightly so. We have a very capable roster. We've got star players, we've got role players. But this league is tough, and you're right, you know, 3-5 was the low point. I will say, I think the week before in Chicago, I think we kind of found our groove. And that's why it was so surprising coming back and playing Arizona and just laying a massive egg, because I thought we had kind of found who we were. And to get beat by Colt McCoy and all that, by that team that badly in our own home place, and it had been a long time since we'd won a home game, that was low. But you know, I think you just speak to leadership throughout an organization. And you know, I think our players, first and foremost, deserve the credit. They stuck together. They knew we were getting some people back health-wise, and that was going to help us. They also knew that players and things that weren't working, you know, the emergence of Brandon Ayuk, the selflessness of like an Eric Armstead, you know, who's a defensive end who would go down in nickel situations to go full time because Javon Kinlaw had been injured. You know, that's a selfless thing to do. And when you have people that are willing to have their teammates' backs and do things that maybe aren't in their best interest or they feel like at the time, but they say, you know what, for the team, I'll do that. I think those are, you know, those were things that were huge to me. There was the issue of a couple quarterbacks, but that's one thing we knew going in. We were going to have a strength in quarterback room, and we knew that we could win with either guy. We had a ton of belief in Jimmy. Jimmy was hurt early. Trey comes in, and unfortunately, he got nicked in both his starts. But then we found our rhythm, and now it's been kind of an avalanche of momentum, and it hasn't been perfect. But we are capable of playing with and beating anyone when we're on our game, and now it's playoff time. You better be on your game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We got 49er GM John Lynch with us right now on the Morning Roast. You bring up the quarterback room and Trey, Jimmy. I mean, me and Bonte are ready to strangle each other every day talking about Jimmy and Trey for the last almost close to a year now. And I'm sure fan base in general is losing their minds. But Jimmy Garoppolo had, I thought, his finest moment in a 49er uniform down in SoFi Stadium. You've seen a lot of games. You've watched a lot of them. It's been an up and down year for the team, the quarterback, just the oscillating between the two players. How good did that feel for Jimmy on a personal level when you've been talking about, I'm going to give you a chance to compete since day one, since you guys made that trade, for him to have that moment in that second half and into overtime to do that? How good did you feel for him on a personal level?
Oh, man, he's so easy to love. And, you know, when we got him, that was the thing that we always spoke of, that he's not a typical quarterback. You know, you find him all the time sitting with, you know, well, we used to be able to sit before COVID with other people and eat, you know, but he would always sit with the practice squad offensive linemen, you know, like because the quarterback is never just one of the guys in a building. He really is just one of the guys. I think it's like the Midwest values, the way he was raised. His teammates love him. They love him for his grit. You know, I think the fact that he even lined up last week, a lot of people wouldn't have done that at that position. So I thought it was incredibly tough. But Jimmy's clutch too, you know, in the big moments after, you know, it's not always going to be perfect. And you're going to make mistakes, but I think his ability to bounce back, and then I don't think he ever gets the credit. Kyle's talked about it, you know, for how talented of a thrower that he is. And, you know, the coolest thing is to see the belief his teammates have in him, and he's earned that. And so to see him go out there on that, and we don't win that game without him. We're all aware of that. And the cool thing for me is that both things can be true. Trey played excellent and grew up right before our eyes the week before against the Texans. The first half wasn't great. He was kind of finding himself. That second half, that was some big-time football. And so we would have been comfortable going for him, but we felt Jimmy had earned the opportunity, that was our best chance, our best situation. That's the one thing with Kyle. There's never any gray. He makes a decision, and bam, we go. And so, I couldn't have been more happy for Jimmy and for all of his teammates. You know, and these guys are excited. They're well prepared. We've had a tremendous week of practice, and we'll finish that, throughout the weekend. But today, finish a Friday, which is always a fun day around here, kind of wrapping up the details. And then we'll get on a plane and go to Dallas and the calm before the storm.
Oh, we cannot wait. Cowboys Niners this Sunday. Talking to GM John Lynch. John, I'm just looking at the team that you've assembled, right? And you're not going to bat 1,000 in the draft every year. But, man, that 2019 draft with Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa, I mean, talk about football players. I mean, you were a football player, could play in any era. These dudes are unbelievable. Bosa, put him to the side for a second. Deebo Samuel is such a unique player. You got him at running back. You got him as a ridiculous wideout, catching 18 yards per reception. He's an absolute game changer. Is he better than you had ever anticipated? Because I can't believe the way Kyle's using him. And he's just so explosive and so fresh. No one can tackle him on the outside. He's still making plays downfield. He's just been a monster for you guys this year.
He is, you know, and yes, he is better than we ever could have expected. We had high hopes, you know, we really identified him, and I've talked a lot about it. We had the benefit. I don't recommend it because it means you had a lousy season the year before, but we had the benefit of coaching the Senior Bowl, and Deebo Samuel was on our team. And, you know, the cool thing, I remember being in the, you know, you're always, before the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy is like the president. He runs the Senior Bowl, and you're not really supposed to, but you can kind of make a couple requests. You help Jim throughout the year on identifying guys that should be in his game, and I said, Jim, there's a few players. It was Adam Peters and I in my office, and Jim, there's a couple players we want. Deebo Samuel's one. We want the opportunity to coach him. Can you put him on our – and, you know, there's always the other GM probably wanted him too, but there's trading going on, and you kind of have to prioritize. And he was at the top of our list, and, man, that week just solidified – that if we had the opportunity, we'd go get him, because in addition to the skill set, there was this just kind of infectious personality that the guy was always smiling, but yet he was all ball. And then as for the talent, you know, it's funny what makes up genius, you know, and Kyle is because the way and his staff, for the way they're utilizing him. But I chuckle because we used to say in the draft process, you know, once he gets the ball in his hands, he's like a running back. Well, never did it dawn upon us, put him at running back. You know, it was, but, you know, you start giving him reverses and then, you know, you kind of morph into this, but it presents legitimate challenges. I think of it from a defensive, you know, if you've got a DB covering him, a nickel covering him, well, and all of a sudden he's in the backfield, now that nickel's in the box playing linebacker, it's just a ton of challenges. Where is he going to line up? And then that's just before the snap. And then once the ball's snapped, good luck tackling him one-on-one or, yeah, or two-on-one. I mean, he's a fabulous player. He's in his own way, very much a leader of this team. And man, he's dependable. He loves the big moments too. You know, like that pass, yep, on Miller, rushing him. And I'll tell you, in practice, it wasn't real pretty him throwing those last week. I don't know about this play, but you talk about some guys just rise to, you know, when it matters most, they bring out their best. And that was the best throw he threw all week, and he threw it like a fadeaway, getting bum rushed. You know,
and Juwan Jennings, it was such a good pass. Juwan Jennings almost dropped it. He bobbled it around there after you guys ran it 10 straight times. So John Lynch, the Hall of Famer here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 a game. Trey Lance, how would you assess his rookie season?
I think it's been awesome, you know, and a lot of people, I'm sure, think, man, this guy's crazy. What do you mean he hasn't played that much, you know? But we had a plan for Trey, and I think, you know, the plan was to take it week by week, and we just wanted to see constant growth and development. And the thing I'll tell you about Trey, we're more excited about him today than when we drafted him, and that's because the amount of horsepower he has. And when you're trying to find a franchise quarterback, you're looking at everything. You're looking at the competitive greatness that I was talking about when the moment's big, how are they going to respond? You're talking about the physical traits and tools. He's got all of those. The mental capacity, you know, Kyle's going to challenge a quarterback and any player for that matter. Can he handle that? Absolutely. You check that box. And then, you know, a lot of it's just experience and, you know, the best way to get that's on the field, but we also had a team capable. So we were going to make the best decision. So we've been very creative and as to how we try to further that growth without him playing game reps. And I've seen him get better, right before our eyes. And he's also got, you know, that quality of like Jimmy, he's just a guy that people love and like, and his teammates have that respect for him. And it's been awesome to watch Jimmy and Trey, you know, develop their relationship and be, you know, and I give Jimmy all the credit for that, because it'd been easy to say, hey, get out of my room. Instead, he's done nothing but help the kid, and it's been awesome. And I think that's kind of representative of the feel that this team has for each other. We all have each other's backs, and that's what makes you feel so confident going into this playoff run. We got to go do it, and we got a huge challenge with the Cowboys. They're very talented, and then you know, really good team that presents a lot of challenges. So we know we have our work cut out, but we are extremely confident.
John, why do you think Jimmy doesn't get respected around the league? Like, a lot of people look at Jimmy and they look at the build. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't throw the ball deep, and there's all these little complaints about Jimmy Garoppolo. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know that. I think even smart football people, and I don't blame them, you know, when we're in the playoff run in 19, you know, and I think versus Green Bay we threw it 9 times, or, you know, maybe that was Minnesota. You know, I think people take that as Kyle doesn't trust him. No, we're just imposing our will running the ball, so why wouldn't you, you know? And thing I love about Jimmy is he don't really care about that. He's a former linebacker, and I think some of that mentality stays in there. And he just wants to win, and I truly mean that. Sometimes people say that, and I'm sure he'd love to have 320 yards like he did this last week every game. But Jimmy just does, you know, and I think maybe that our style or whatever leads to that. And then, I don't know, sometimes people are jealous when you're good-looking, when you got the world by the you-know-what. You know? Like, people say, man, this guy's too perfect. I don't, you know, but I don't know what the reason is, because if people knew him, I mean, he's about as easy a guy to like as you'll ever find.
Yeah,
even when I screwed up and unknowingly, you know, liked the tweet, you know, I call him. He's like, John, you don't need to call me. I know who you are. You know, I know your heart. that's who the guy is.
John, my wife would have killed me if I was on my phone during church. I'm going to keep it 100 right, with you, yeah. You know. She'd have been all over me. She steals my phone for dinner, I mean, for crying out loud.
We're not allowed to use phones at dinner,
John. Let me give you a little context, because I have gotten heat from my parents for that one. It's Christmas Eve Mass, so you got to arrive early to get a seat. So we were there at like for a 4 o'clock Mass at like 3. And then I'm sitting there, and all right, let's see what's going on in the football world. And that's all I'll say about that. We've got other things to worry about.
Don't look at your mentions. Mute, mute, mute. That's what we do on this show, man, John. It's all good. Hey, D'Amico Ryans, man, I judge a person on how they act when adversity hits them. I mean, you lose your starting corner. You lose Dee Ford. You lose Javon Kinlaw. The linebacker situation has been, you know, who's healthy? Like, that's who we're going to play this week. And you just get nothing but unbelievable production. Arden Key, what a great signing this was. Nick Bosa has been a monster. They're leading the league in double teams. Still got 18-some-odd sacks. And Eric Armstead playing at a high level. Jimmy Ward. Like, I'm looking at what you guys have done on the defensive side of the ball and the growth of D'Amico Ryans and the ability to find a guy who's never been a coordinator. I'm just so impressed with the defensive side of the ball. We never talk about it, and here you guys are, top 10 again this year. It's been an unreal year on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and D'Amico has done such a great job. You know, and you talk about all those things. You know, how about losing your number one corner in week one,
yep,
and then your number two corner, Emmanuel Mosley, hasn't played most of the year, you know, because of various injuries. And so for him to overcome that and the poise, and, you know, D'Amico is one of those demeanors. You know, he was always a captain when he played, and he's not a really loud guy. He's the words he speaks carry a lot of weight. Because, first of all, there's an intensity, there's a respect that he's earned from everyone. And he's a man of few words, but his words are very poignant. And, he just exudes leadership. He's got a little of intimidation because he's a big man. He looks like he could still play.
Yeah, he does.
I think half the guys are afraid of him, but they all love him and respect him. And he's one of the, you know, I keep saying this, but, like, he really is one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. But he doesn't blink in the face of adversity, and he has just been incredible. Kyle, I think, had coached down in Houston, knew of D'Amico, and so when we put together our first staff, you know, he was the choice at linebacker coach. And early on, we identified, hey, you know, when we started having success, hey, Saleh is not going to be here forever. Who's next in line? And D'Amico was an easy choice because he's just got so much to him and so many great qualities, but you still don't know until he actually has that opportunity. And he's been just tremendous. And, you know, as for, you know, opportunities in the future, we're going to enjoy them while we have them. Because
I was going to say, John, get the wallet out. Get the wallet out, man. It's in this guy right now. We don't want to see him leave, man. He's been great for you guys.
Yeah, we'll keep him here as long as we can, but, you know, you can't stop a guy if he's got head coaches opportunities, nor would you want to. And
no doubt.
I know that's in his future, and someone would be making a really wise choice. So But the cool thing about D'Amico, he's just laser focused on the task at hand. And right now, that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, we can't wait for Sunday. John, this was a lot of fun. We could talk to you until the rest of the show, man. You're
come
a great talker.
Back, man.
We'll have you back on if you have the time for us, man. I'm flying down to Dallas. I can't wait to go to Jerry's World to see this playoff game. Niners, Cowboys. Shasky's a big time Niner fan. This was a lot of fun, man, talking about the 49ers. You guys make the playoffs. It was a lot of up and downs, but man, you guys are playing a wild card weekend. It must feel great.
Yeah, we're in the tournament, and that's where you want to be. And we're just looking forward to a great game on Sunday with a lot of the faithful down there. So safe travels to everybody, and go Niners.
Hey, John, safe travels to you as well.
Yeah, thank you for your time, and on behalf of Niner fans, thank you for all these memories these last couple of years. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.